Thank you, Deb. And some of you that are newer this morning may not realize why we opened the Bible for our time of learning and study. Is my microphone on? Yeah, okay, so you can hear it? You're in the back, that's good. And Matt, if you could do maybe one other thing. I'm seeing a lot of cues that people are feeling chilly. So it was hot outside, but it's plenty cool in here, right? So maybe we could do something with that too. So one reason we opened the Bible, you know, we're looking forward to a barbecue together, right? And that fills our stomach and gives us physical energy. And one way I've over time thought about the Bible is it's food for our soul. You know, it's a light to our path, the scripture says, but it really, so we're going to get fed twice. So there's a little food for our soul, and then we can also share around some food for our stomachs and our physical bodies as well. So if you haven't been here, we're in a series. We're moving toward winding up this series about community life. It's about being better together. It's about how do we actually love one another well. And we're on one today that is very interesting. Last week and today, it's a word that we often don't use or even think of as related to being loving. But let's see what you think about it when we're finished by the end of the day. Remember that Jesus said, it's recorded in John 13, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you that you love one another." Nobody's against that, right? He went on to say, just as I've loved you, you're to love one another. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples or followers if you have love for one another. So one of the great beauties of Park Church, I've experienced that as I've come here. I just heard stories minutes ago that's why some of you who are new around here, you experience that as great. So in our sermon series, what we're doing is about how we take this to the next level. You know, what does God's word say about how we really love one another well? One Bible student, as he looked at our topic of today, he said this. This subject, this mutuality command, we obey the least often. And when we attempt to obey it, we usually do the worst job. I like that because I think it's true. So here's the idea. It's Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. It reads this way. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. Teach and admonish, there's our word for the day, admonish one another in all wisdom and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. Colossians 3:16. We are in a culture, friends, I would be surprised if any one of you in the room would have a problem with being loved or loving and loving well. You know, who's against that? Nobody, right? But there's very different ideas about what that would look like or how it is that we live into that more deeply and more profoundly. We're in a culture. Now, you check me on this. Is this not true? We're in a culture that often we hear things like this. If you love me, you'll accept me. By the way, the Bible agrees with that. But it goes further. If you love me, you'll accept me and just be fully tolerant and never question me. And in some ways, we're kind of saying, like, don't mess in my life. I'm not going to mess with you. You don't mess with me. So today, we're actually going to talk about how we mess with each other in a helpful way, you know? Because there's a not helpful way and a helpful way, is there not? Yeah. Included in the labor of love is the biblical concept of admonish one another. Shows up twice in the New Testament. The word admonish shows up 8 times. Admonish one another comes twice. We've looked at Colossians 3. We'll look at the other verse that talks about that a little bit later. You might say, what's that word mean? It can carry a difficult meaning. It doesn't mean, you know, go after one another, you know, in a harmful or hurtful way at all. The word in the Bible is the nuthetao. There you go. Isn't that great? Nuthetao, that's translated admonish, it's a complex word. If you're in the medical or counseling world, you might have heard it. There was a whole stream in the counseling literature about nuthetic counseling and being competent to counsel. It's that word right here. But the word means to warn or to correct, to give counsel, to confront, to set things right. It holds all those kinds of meanings. We're just going to capture the word today to confront. How's that? Nuthetao, to admonish or to confront well. I have a pastor acquaintance, and he's told this story publicly, so I'm not betraying him. He happens to live in Texas, and this is a true story. Some of you might think I'm telling about him and it's really about me, but it isn't. So Bill's his name, and so one day, this is true, he was driving to church one weekday evening. He was actually going to a leadership, like elders meeting, and he got running a little bit late. So guess what he was doing on the way to church? He was driving too fast. And so sees the red lights, and some of you have had that happen, right? The red lights and the siren, and he pulls over, of course, and the rather big male Texas sheriff walks up, open your window, please. You know the routine, right? So he gets out the papers, and the sheriff says, at one point, he looks at Bill, looks at the paper, says, hey, well, where are you headed so fast? Bill told me he was thinking, now what do I say? He said, well, actually, sir, I'm going to a meeting at church. And the big policeman looked at him, looked at his papers, looked at him again. Bill was getting a little uncomfortable. And he says, well, why are you going to a meeting at church? Bill said, well, actually, sir, I work there, like I'm the pastor. Then the big policeman, this is the last part. So the policeman looks at him, he's quiet a little bit more, looking Bill right in the eye. Of course, Bill's hoping he doesn't get a big old ticket, you know. And the policeman, with a loving, forceful, direct look in the eye, said, go and sin no more. True story, you know? Yeah. That's the idea of admonish. And Bill said, you know what? Like, I'll never forget that. And actually drive a little better. That was the idea, you know, actually, from the policeman. Colossians 3:16 that we read, did you capture that? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teach and admonish. There's a little distinction there. There are ways that we teach the word of God. There's also like the exhortation, the encouragement to apply it well and rightly and individually. To correct us, to warn us, to put things right, to get us on the right path. That's the idea of admonishing. Do you appreciate it when people in love admonish you? I've actually grown into that. I used to not like it much at all, but I've grown into where I appreciate it a bit because why? It helps me learn and grow and change well. Here's an idea I'd like you to go with today. Mature love actually cares enough to confront. Have you thought about that? So what does it mean? We're going to answer three questions today, and we'll get out in plenty of time to do a good barbecue. What does it mean to admonish? How do we admonish or confront? And if you're like me, well, like, who's qualified to do that besides the policeman? You know, really. If you notice in our verse, it begins with the word of Christ dwelling in us richly. And it results in gratitude and singing songs to God, the word of Christ. Do you know that we admonish in love really well when we're acquainted with God's word? And so here's the thing. I'd encourage you to actually read it and study it. You know, and if you're not sure how to do that, by the way, on summer evenings, we plan to do a little thing on Thursday nights to dive a little, since there aren't community groups, we'll like have a Thursday night thing around our study. And we'll probably, several of you said, well, like, what do I do when I open the Bible? That's a great question. How is it that we study it rightly and helpfully and personally? And so we'll talk about that a little bit. I'd love to just do that today, but we'll do that a little later. But read it, and if you're new to it and you're not sure how, talk with one of us. It's a great thing. How do we open? This is actually not just any old book. It's not just a great book of history or a great book of moral teachings. This is actually, people, this is like a word from God. It's God's word that is a light to our path and is really without error. And so it's something that we have the privilege, like it says, letting the word of Christ to dwell in us richly. We do that a little bit Sunday morning. It was really good if we do that well personally as well. I encourage you to that. Yesterday, I had a little form of admonishment. I had the opportunity with one of the men, actually, of the church here. We're maybe going to be a couple of us. Ended up two of us went out. We went on a hike, and we were in the northwest part of New Jersey. Some of you have done this. We caught like 10 or so miles of the Appalachian Trail. It was great. I'd never done that. I love doing things like that. Well, but do you know on the trail, if you've ever been out there, they mark like, because it's like some places, if you could take the wrong path, it's not helpful. You know, there's things that you could end up who knows where. So one of the things they do is they mark trees with these white paint things. That's a subtle form of correction or if we start to go in this, hey, no, this looks like a path, but look at the white marks over there. That's actually sort of an admonishment to us. Then there was a woman that we had a bunch of interesting conversations, people hiking the trail. And but one of the people, I didn't know there are things called ridge runners. Do you know the state of New Jersey, I guess, has 3 ridge runners. You know what their job is? They're out there on the trail during the summer to help, to answer questions, to do everything from pick up trash to do maintenance. But you know what else they did? They would correct, like one of the things they said, when you go around this corner, somebody previously just sighted a copperhead. Pay attention. That's an admonishment in love. See what I'm saying? So in all kinds of parts of our life, it helps that we listen to admonishment and pay attention to it. Parents, in the Bible, in Ephesians chapter 6, it says you get to raise your children in what? In the training, the admonition, same root word, of the Lord. We do that as parents, don't we? Now, when I was a kid, I'd do a lot of like crazy things, you know? So my parents did everything for say, you don't take the paperclip and go put it in the wall socket. Like, don't do that when I was real little, you know? And you do that with your kids. Like, you know, stay away from that. That's a warning. This is a correction. I mean, when I was a teenager, my dad talked with me about, you actually don't treat a woman like this, you treat her like that. Well, I didn't know. That was an admonishment. That was helpful training. In sports, the thing was do your best. My coaches helped me with this, including my father. You compete with yourself. You don't really compete with others. You know, there's like no comparison was what the admonishment was. Those things have shaped me, and those things have shaped you, and we get to do this with one another in our families and in the church. I just have to pause and say this. I think I have enough time. If you're here today and you view the church as an organization or an institution primarily, you know what you'll tend to do? You'll come and you'll sit and you'll maybe listen. You'll maybe even learn a little bit of something and then you'll leave and you'll check it off. If you view the church, which is what it is and what the Bible says it is, this is like a relationship thing with God and one another. It's not so much an organization thing or an institution thing. If you view the church as a living organism, as the body of Christ, which we are when we're in Christ, you know what? You do more than come and sit and listen a little bit and learn a little bit and then just leave. We end up being responsible to one another. And this is one of the ways. And I have people, especially key people in my life, I don't know who I'd be if I haven't actually wanted them to speak into my life and to admonish me. And hopefully you have that too. So you know what it is? It's warning, it's correction, it's setting us on the right path. How do we do that? And so what do we do when we confront? We could talk a lot about this. I'm just going to bullet point it. Here, little wisdom. If you look at the whole of the Bible, the things that Bible leaders are confronting in the Bible is this. When we violate God's word or the scripture, that's one thing. It helps us if we confront each other about that. Secondly, things that do harm. We warn, we correct, we put a stop to. Thirdly, things that hinder our spiritual growth. We admonish one another about those things. So if you're listening, what we aren't doing is purposing so much to go around and say, you know, if you're different than me, if you believe differently than me about this political thing or, you know, this social issue, or that's not so much the domain of the church as it is violations of scripture or things that really do harm or things that hinder our spiritual growth. You might say, where do you see that in the Bible? The Apostle Paul in Galatians 2, he confronts Peter. Get that. Did you notice that? Have you ever read the Bible? So here are these pillars of the early church, Peter and Paul. Paul admonishes Peter because he was doing wrong. You can check it out if you want. It's recorded in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. Profound thing in the life of the early church. Thank God Paul was like that. He loved Peter, and he helped set him on a right course by admonishing him. Paul had recorded in Acts chapter 20, he admonished the church elders. It says, with tears. He had so much compassion and was so concerned what was happening, he confronted and admonished elders. We could talk about it a lot of different ways. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, there's a guy in the church in sexual sin. It's right there in the Bible. The Apostle Paul says, look, don't admonish him as you regard him like as an enemy. You don't do that. You warn him. There's that word. You warn him as a brother because you love him so much. That's the idea of admonishment, right? So those are the kind of things that especially we're called on to confront one another. It's not just, you know, you're wearing that color shirt. I don't like that. I'm going to confront you about it. You see what I mean? Yeah. We're good. Last thing, then we'll wrap up. After this, what qualifications does it take? If you're like me, it scares me. I mean, if we were to speak, as it were, the word of God into people to help warn or correct or confront, we ought not do that lightly. And we ought not need to do that all that much, I hope. Romans 15 and verse 14 is the other verse in the New Testament that talks about admonishing one another. And along with the Word of God dwelling in us richly, this gives us a big, big clue about how we might grow in a way ourselves that we would admonish and then also receive admonishment. Reads this way. Just listen. Romans 15:14 says, I myself, the apostle says, feel confident about you, church people, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are what? You're full of goodness, you're filled with all knowledge, and able to admonish one another. There you go. So real quick, if we're to grow in this, what are we going to grow in behind the scenes? Full of goodness. What's that? Bible student says that's being full of virtue. It reflects maturity in the spiritual life. Harrison, one Bible student, said it's moral excellence wrought by the Holy Spirit's indwelling. Here's my summary. Being full of goodness is having the heart of Christ. You know, it's that we're involved in who is Jesus and how is it that we have more of his heart. We're full of grace. We have that heart of compassion like Jesus did, full of goodness. Having the heart of Christ, filled with knowledge. What's that? It's an abundance of biblical knowledge, one Bible student said, but it's not the kind of knowledge that is intellectual only. It's the kind of knowledge that changes our life. It's not just information. It's like life transformation kind of knowledge. This is one, many of you are like this, who reflect the mind of Christ. How do we get there? If you're like me, you say, how do I become more full of goodness or filled with more knowledge? How do I have more of the heart of Jesus, more of the mind of Jesus? Hang around people that do. Spend time in His Word learning about it. Read the Gospels. I mean, fall in love with Jesus again and again, friends. Please. And if you dare, for extra credit, maybe even pray that we'd have more of the heart of Christ and more of the mind of Christ around here. It's here. But how good would it be if we're more full? You know, we'll pray on that before we go today. Nuthateo, admonish one another. It's giving good, godly, biblical guidance and counsel and being willing to warn and correct. Mature love cares enough to confront like that. May it be true of us. You know, we're all prone to getting lost in the weeds, getting off track. Spiritually, it can be sin. The Bible says, love never glosses over or turns a blind eye to sin. But love rejoices with truth. You know that God doesn't like wink at sin. You know, we start to get lost in the weeds. We get off the... God just doesn't say, well, I hope it goes well. Really, thank God He doesn't with us. God never winks at sin, but He knew that we needed pardon for sin. You know, that's why Jesus came. God's great intervention and really admonition through Jesus Christ. He Himself sacrificed and sent and confronted our sin. Why? Because He loves us so much. Last image of Jesus, when you read through the Gospels, if you take up this challenge to read in the Gospels in the Bible and you read about how Jesus did things, one of the great well-known stories, I want you to picture this. This is where my police friend, the story, actually got this, right? Remember in the Bible? It's in John chapter 8. Go back and read it. First part of John chapter 8. The setting is Jesus is with a bunch of religious leaders. They're kind of after Him and challenging Jesus. And they all come across a woman, in this case, who was just caught in sexual sin. By the law, the people could, put her under a pile of rocks. They called it stoning them. You could kill them, you know, as punishment. And religious leaders were basically challenging Jesus. What do we do with this woman? See, you remember this story? Yeah, many of you do. So what did Jesus do? Because He knew of those religious leaders, many of them, their issues and probably pride. What does He say? Well, any of you here without sin? Yeah, throw the first stone. That's admonishment. You know what they did is they heard. One by one walked away. So then Jesus is there with the woman. And guess what He said to her? Yeah, do you know anybody here still judging you? She says no, and he says to her, go and sin no more. That's the heart and the mind of Christ. He knew what she needed. He knew what they needed. And He knows what we need. So that's the Jesus that we love and we celebrate. And that's why every Sunday here we sing and we pray and we come to the table to remember. And friends, if we're not treating one another well at times, or we actually don't care enough to confront in grace and in truth, what we're facing is it's not just a lack of niceness. It's a lack of the gospel in our hearts. So sometimes we don't only need better manners or something, but we need a deeper grip on the gospel. It's a lot of why we gather together. We need to grow. And remember, the Bible says then a watching world, when we love one another more and more, a watching, needy world, what? Knows, because you love one another, because we love one another, that we're Christ followers. So may we grow in this grace and this love of messing with each other's lives in grace and in truth. The Bible calls it admonishing one another. We care enough to even confront. Father, thank you for your word that surprises us regularly. When we think of love in our culture, we often think of it as mainly emotion, mainly acceptance and tolerance. And while it's that, it's so much more. So as we've walked through this, how we would encourage one another and bear with one another and all these little parts of the collage of loving deeply and meaningfully, may we today reflect again and again on how you have invaded our world, admonished us in grace and truth through Christ that we have new life. So now we sing and we celebrate around the Lord's table. Amen. Amen.